Start out in this message. I'm going to talk about the process today. And anybody ever, have you ever built a home, been involved in that process? Raise your hand if you built any homes. Okay. So, thank you. So, even if you haven't done that, you probably understand that there's a particular order to the process. Okay. Let me put it like this. You would never, if you're building your own home, you would never put sheetrock on the walls before you had a roof over the whole building, right? Because sheetrock doesn't like to get wet, and it doesn't stay looking good if it does. Okay, so you guys get that aspect, that analogy. And so when you're building a house, you kind of going to go through. You're going to do things in a specific order. You're going to first start out by digging foundation. And then once that's all done, you're going to start framing up those walls. And then you're going to get rafters up. Then you're going to put decking on top of that. And you're going to throw some shingles down. And you don't put up the cabinets before you put up any sheetrock or that nature. And so there's just an order of things, right? There's a process. Well, I'm trying to relay this to our lives today because there's a process in our life, and God is involved in that process. Okay, and I want to try to help you to see that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I want to take you here because this verse helps us to see this very, very clearly. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, the Word of God says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you," who, raise your hand if God's begun a good work in you already. He started the work. Okay, but look at what he says. He says, "I'm certain, I know that God is going to continue his work." He says he will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So God began a work, and he's going to continue to work on us, right? That's a good thing. And I want to try to point out this morning kind of some of the ways that God works on us. And you might start... If you start squirming, don't squirm too much because we'll know that we hit a nerve. Okay, if I stomp on your toes from up here, know it was the Lord. Okay, I don't know. I'm just trying to follow where God has me. Okay, and so forgive me. I want to point out a couple of those ways here in a moment. God is going to continue to do that work. He's already started it. Matter of fact, if you don't even know Jesus yet as your Lord and Savior, I happen to believe that Jesus has already begun working in your heart. And it excites me. Turn with me to the next slide. The next verse is Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3. And before I read this, well, I'll read the first part of it. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read it all. I changed my mind. But the Lord tests the heart. So, when I was in high school, many years ago now, I made a couple of knives, and this is one of them. Please don't play with my knife if I'm not around. Kids, you're not allowed to play with this unless your parent is there, because it's very sharp. But there's a process to this, okay? And let me try to explain. Please don't correct me, because I might not get all the terminology right. And I'm aware of that, but I'm throwing out the idea this morning, okay? Because I know there's people that know way more about this stuff than I do, and it's been 25 years for me since I did it. And so let me just point out a couple things. This has this knife goes all the way, metal goes all the way through, and there are three holes that were drilled in this for brass pins to hold this wood on, okay? And so. In order to drill those, I wanted to soften the metal. And in order to soften the metal, I had to what? Put fire to it. Heat it up. And so you guys know what happens when you hear this verse test. He says when you test metals, you're purifying it. They made it in liquid form in this case. And what they would do, and this is how you get your different kinds of gold, your different carats of gold. You heat that up into liquid form, and then you get the impurities off the top. Okay, and so you do that multiple times, and the more you do that, the more pure your gold is, right? And so back to the knife, I had to heat this knife up. I didn't make it liquid, but you heat it up to a certain color, and then you have part of the process, you can cool it off a few different ways, depending on what you're wanting to do with it. This is where I forget, okay? Forgive me. I don't remember. But there's three ways. One, you heat it up to different colors, and then you cool it either quickly or slowly. You can do that, and you can dip it in water. You can dip it in oil, which it catches fire usually, or you can throw it in like a box of sand, and it cools very slowly. And I don't remember which is which. Don't take time to tell me right now because I forget. I apologize. But that's one is to soften the metal so then you could work it specifically. And then later on, you want to heat it back up and you want to make it harder, okay? Because you want this to be able to hold an edge. But heat it up too much or cool it too quickly, it'll become brittle. You see, God is in that process in our lives, our everyday life, okay? And so... hoping to be able to relay that to you by analogy, by something that we can see and understand. God sometimes is going to put fire to our life. Amen. Look, I didn't come up with the idea. It's right there in the Bible. Proverbs 17:3. Fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. We're in process. You and I are in process. God is still working on us. We learn that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. God is working on us. He is wanting to do something in our life and do something beautiful and wonderful. And now I want to take you to another verse and help you to understand. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we're going to find out what the Lord's trying to do. What he's trying to do is transform us. And let's read here. And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Did you catch that? You and I are currently in the process of being transformed. God is, again, back to Philippians 1:6, he is continuing to work on us. Who's thankful for that? Yeah, we all should be, but guess what? Sometimes it does not feel good. Sometimes we're like, oh. I have a true confession to make. There are some times that I have to say, man, I'm a jerk. I'm being honest. My wife usually doesn't have to tell me, but she's usually involved. I'm not saying that to her. She's a blessing. And usually I'm being the jerk. Guys, don't raise your hand, but anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, thank you. I'm not alone. Okay, whew. Let's put myself out there. But look, we're being transformed. We're in the process of being changed. Isn't that good? Aren't you thankful for that? How many of you want to stay the same as you are right now and never change and never get any better? Please don't raise your hand. But look, let's read on. We are all being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, I believe that the Lord wants to help us and cause us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what I believe God's goal is for each and every one of us in the room and on the planet. Okay? And so we're being transformed, and God is trying to take us to that place and help us to become more and more like Jesus. But guess what? Yeah, we struggle with this thing called the sinful nature. But look what it says here, from one degree of glory to another. Other versions might say it like this, from glory to glory. I want to portray it like this this morning, that is kind of one level of glory to another level of glory. And guess what? You can't get out of order. Because you have to learn what you were supposed to learn right here to have the faith for this one. Okay? Does that make sense? So God is wanting to, he's continuing to transform us. We need to be transformed, right? Because we live in a sinful world. There is stuff all around us all the time that we have to say no to. We have to shut out. And the Lord is wanting to bring us and make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And he's taking us from glory to glory, and he's going to do that by allowing that fire to come into our life. Ouch. Yeah. It doesn't feel good to get burned, does it? God's not trying to burn you. God is trying to make you more pure. That's his goal. Again, Jesus walked this earth without sin. He lived a sinless life. You don't believe that? Look at the scriptures. Read the scriptures. It'll prove it to you. Jesus is awesome. And I want to be more like him. And there are some days when I'm not. And you know what? I'm beginning to understand little by little that that's the Lord showing me where I've fallen short, not to keep me there, but to move me past there. Does that make sense? It's not, God's not saying, oh, you're a loser and you can't do anything. He doesn't do it that way. He's saying, I'm going to allow this to rise up to the top when I get angry about something and I want to blow up, right? Or let's say it could be all kinds of different things that you might struggle with. And God says, I'm going to allow that to come to the top so that then you will realize that it's there and then you can deal with it. That's the process that we're all in. And I think that some of the time we forget that that's what's really going on. We don't see it as the process. We don't see it as God doing that. We see ourselves as just failures. And that's not the goal. God isn't doing it to say, see, look at you, you're a loser. No, God's saying, no, see, it's there. And I need now I'm going to help you take care of it if you'll let me. If you'll let me, I'll help you get rid of that. I'll help you change. Change is good. Change is good. And so we need that. We need to allow that. We need to work with God on that. So, and that helps us, see, helps us to go from this level or this step of glory to another step of glory. And that's so that we can get to know God more and more. Because then we're shedding more things of this world off and becoming more like his wonderful son. Isn't that great? It's wonderful stuff right here. God is so good and so faithful. And now I want to show you an example of this in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Timothy, now, before I read this, Timothy was a young minister that Paul is the guy that wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. And he had this, there's this young man named Timothy, and he was kind of being mentored by Paul, and Paul was training him up to be a man of God. Paul was training him up to teach him about ministry and this sort of thing. And the way I look at this verse is I think Paul saw something in Timothy. And Paul says, this book of 2 Timothy, as many are in the New Testament, were letters that one individual wrote to another or to a group of people. And this one, Paul wrote to this young man, this young minister named Timothy. And in it, he says, look with me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of self-discipline. Paul likely saw that Timothy was a little shy, a little reserved, a little timid when it came to maybe preaching about Jesus and telling others about Christ. And Paul says, hey, bud, it's all right. I'm not going to beat you up about it, but I'm just simply helping you to recognize it and telling you that that's not from God. Okay, do you see the process here? Do you see the process that Paul was helping and God was orchestrating in Timothy's life? A trusted friend says, hey, bud, there's some fear right here, it looks like. And God, that fear doesn't come from God. Matter of fact, Timothy, God gives you this. God gives you power, love, and a self-discipline. And so I see the process in that verse. I see that God is working and using Paul to input into Timothy's life here. So it's that process. Hey, Timothy, from one level of glory to another. When you get this figured out, God's going to help you to get past that fear, and you're going to go to another step. And then guess what? There's always another step. Okay? Because even Paul said, hey, guys, I've not attained. I've not reached it. I've not made it there yet. You know, to that place that I don't ever have to change again, where I don't need to change. I don't know that we're going to get there until the end. But still, our goal is to grow and to become more and more like Jesus. Let me briefly share with you. I don't think we'll go to the verses, but in Genesis talks about, you might remember a guy named Joseph. Now, Joseph, when he was 17 years old, he had a couple of dreams. Most of us can't remember the dream that we had when we wake up, right? Joseph, he remembered this one. He latched onto it. This was a God-given dream. again, he was 17 years old when he had these dreams. Well, he had these dreams that his brothers would all bow, and his parents would all bow down to him. And so, you know, in excitement, Joseph tells his family, "You guys are all going to bow down to me. It's going to be great." And they're like, "We don't think it's very great," right? And so, matter of fact, his brothers are angry about it, and so much so that they were about to. And one of them said, "No, we don't need to do that. Let's sell him instead. We can make some money off of it." So they did. They sold him, and then lied to dad. "Oh yeah, a wild animal. We found this, and they ripped up his coat and put blood all over it, and so." Then Joseph goes and he's kind of working in this guy's house, and God just keeps blessing this kid until one day he gets falsely accused of something, a major deal, a serious thing, and they put him in prison. And do you realize that it was 13 years? Matter of fact, it was 15 years before the dream came true. 15 years. You know what I see in that? Process. You guessed it. There was process in that. God was purging him. God was testing him. God was purifying this young Hebrew man, Joseph. God was purifying him and eventually gave him, he became number two in Egypt underneath Pharaoh because God had used him to interpret Pharaoh's dream. To prepare the people for a famine. And so, God was working and God was in the process of even Joseph's life, even when he was there in prison and when he was falsely accused and otherwise. When he was forgotten about, God was working. God was in the process. You know that God's in the process in your life too. God is working. Don't doubt it. And you know what? Whenever your attitudes flare up, see it and recognize what's going on. God just allowed that to rise to the top so you could then deal with it. It's not easy, but that's what's going on. That is what's going on. And so I just rejoice in God's goodness and his faithfulness. And now I want to turn, if you have your Bibles, I want to try to tie this in into water baptism. We're getting ready to do that. If you are getting baptized, I want you to go ahead and get yourself prepared. You guys are going to come into this door right here and just hang in there quietly until we're ready for you, okay? So change and then come on up. It's all right. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm stoked. Yeah. Okay, so I want to try to tie this into water baptism as well because you know what? These young people are going to be getting baptized right here behind the screen in just a little bit. We'll pull that screen up and you can see them. Matter of fact, if family, in case I forget to say it, if you wanted to come up toward the front, matter of fact, not that all of you can be on the stage at one time, but we'd let a couple of you be right up here over to the side if you wanted to take a picture or video. That would be awesome. And so, you know what? These young people who are getting baptized, they're not going to be perfect. After, matter of fact, nothing happens in that water except for them expressing to you what decision they've already made in their hearts. So it's not like this water is magical. It's tap water. Okay? But what is powerful is the blood of Jesus. And he washes and he cleanses the sin. But guess what? We know that there's this big long word, it's called sanctification, and that's really what I've been talking about today. And with sanctification, it's two parts, okay? And it's the part that I've been talking about, that process that's ongoing in our life. Praise God for that. And praise God for the first part. The first part is when that moment, and these young people have made this decision, maybe at an altar, maybe in a parking lot, maybe in a car, maybe at home, in the kitchen, who knows? But they made the decision to follow Jesus. They made the decision, said, "Jesus, I believe in you. Come forgive me, cleanse me, and make me brand new." See, at that moment, we're made right with God. And it's as if we'd never, ever sinned. Okay? That's what sanctification is. But it also is a continuing process in our life. Okay? So let's acknowledge both aspects of that process and move closer and closer to the Lord. What a blessing and what a privilege it is to know him. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me that he is the very great reward, not anything else. Jesus is. Knowing my God is the great reward. And so if you have your Bibles, or you can see it on the screen, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us, we were buried, therefore, with him. With him, that's him is Jesus. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Let me try to help you understand that. Sometimes so many words can jumble it up, you know, it does for my brain. And so basically what water baptism symbolizes, I told you nothing really happens in that water other than they're testifying that, hey, I've made a decision. I've made a decision and said goodbye to my old life. That's what going under the water represents. It represents burial. It represents death. Death to what? Death to the old person. And they're saying, bye-bye. I don't need you any longer. That's not who I am anymore. I've decided to follow Jesus. Okay, so when we take them under the water, that symbolizes that burial, that death. Then when we bring them up, guess what? We celebrated it last week. It represents resurrection. It represents a new being raised up in newness of life. And that's a big deal. So while there's not really anything special about the water, and they're not going to, we use the word here in church, saved, they're not going to get saved in that water. That has already happened, otherwise we wouldn't let them be there. There has to be a change in the heart first. Matter of fact, it could happen right now, and if you wanted to get baptized, I'd let you. But again, process. You don't put the sheetrock on before the roof. You don't get baptized before you've given your heart to Christ. I hope this is making sense today. You are in process. Say, I'm in process. That's right. We all are. Every day, you're in process. Enjoy the trip. Learn to enjoy the trip. I'm preaching to me right there. I think I just stepped on my own toes. That hurts a little bit. But God is good, and he's faithful. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts. I don't know everybody in the room. And I simply want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I simply want to invite you into that a relationship with him. And so, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've never been in a church like this, or maybe you've never been in a church. I don't know. But I want to give you the opportunity to say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me. Would you come and live inside of me? Forgive me for the sins that I've committed against you. And today I'm ready to receive your gift of salvation. I'm ready to receive the gift that you're going to forgive me of sins, my sins, and you want to live with me forever. Wow, God, that is humbling but exciting. If that's you today and you want to begin a relationship with Jesus, I would love to meet you in these altars and pray with you. Would you first raise up your hand just enough so I can see it, and then you can raise it and you can set it back down? Pastor Chad, I'm ready to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'm ready to begin a relationship with him. If that's you, just slip up your hand so I can see it. I see that. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Listen, this is the best decision you'll ever make. It's the most important decision you'll ever make, because this is a decision about eternity. Wow. Is there anyone else? I see that. the best decision you'll ever make, I promise you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Matter of fact, I've told you basically it's going to be hard because you're in process. And the Lord's going to continue to work on you. He's not going to give up on you. One last time, is there anyone else? Okay. Next, for those of you who have a relationship with Jesus, can you commit to joining the Lord in the process of your life in purifying you and allow Him to do it? Can we agree to that today? Go ahead and tell Him. Those of you who raise your hand, I'm gonna ask you to do a real big thing, and that's to step out and come up here and meet me. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you about that decision. And those who are getting baptized, they can come on up and go into that side room there. My wife is going to lead us in some worship, and then we will jump into those water baptisms, okay? If you wanted to give Jesus your heart and you raised your hand, I'd love to meet you up here.